Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I want to prepare you for a couple things. As you're standing to your feet, there's something that God has put on my heart to do. And we're going to do this as a body of people. And I'll give you more information about it next week. I'm just kind of set this on your calendar, set it aside. From the 15th of May to the 24th of May, we are going to consecrate ourselves before the Lord. You say, what does that mean? 10 days, that's 10 days before Pentecost Sunday, which is actually the birthday of the church. God is about to do something in our midst as we prepare ourselves. And it's not like a tradition or anything, but it's just like the Lord says, you know, and matter of fact, I'm starting today, I'm speaking on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, kind of set you up for that whole thing. But I believe that God is not only just here, but places all over the city. God is preparing people for an advent of another great outpouring of His Spirit. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus said it was going to happen. Now, and before I get into the scripture, just stand for a moment. It'll just take me a moment. I was on my way home, and I saw this sign near Benson High School that said revival meeting. I'm thinking, revival meeting on a Saturday night? What is up with that? You know, it's happening, folks. Jesus is about to do something. So I'll give you more explanation about that, but just mark your calendar from the 15th through the 24th. You say, what does that mean? Does that mean we're going to pray every night? Well, you just might. Who knows? It wouldn't hurt a thing, so. Let's go into Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And the responding verses will be up on the screen behind me. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. To whom he also had presented himself alive after his suffering by the many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Hold on for 1 second. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Could be today. I'm serious about this. There's something that God wants to do. Could be today. Oh, we can read on a little bit. I'm sorry, I just interrupted you. Here we go. Therefore, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now when he had spoken these things, and while he watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And when they had entered the room, they went up to the upper room, where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Verse 14 together. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brother. Let's pray. Lord God, today we're going to start on a journey on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, some people didn't know it, but they've been in the charismatic church for a long time. But now we're just going to be not behave like charismata, but Lord, we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to be who he is in our midst. Lord, that doesn't mean that we leave ourselves open for all types of things and manifestations that are not of you. But Lord, there's power that you have in the Holy Spirit. There's something that will happen when we've transcended from this world and we allow the baptism of all that you are to come upon us to be great witnesses in our community. And Holy Spirit, I pray that during this message today as an introduction, that hearts would be open, they would be longing for a greater manifestation of your glory, of your power in our midst. Thank you for all the things you've done today. We give all glory and honor and praise to you. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. All God's people shout out, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. What I speak to you about is, in some cases, some people want to call it controversial. I don't see it controversial at all. Because it's without a doubt, the most important issue that the church must come together and fully embrace is the power of the Holy Spirit in the church today. What that simply means is this. Those who still desire to debate and marginalize his power and influence in the church will find themselves deceived and held hostage to powerless institutions incapable of fulfilling the prophetic words of Scripture that identifies the Church of Jesus Christ in the days that will precede his coming. That's a whole lot of lofty words to say this. You're going to miss out. If you try to get it to a particular thing that you're comfortable with that fits into your paradigm of experience, you will miss Jesus. Because when we get to the particular point of when the Holy Spirit really did manifest himself, it was not like anybody thought he was going to do. As a matter of fact, he did all the things that probably people wouldn't want to have done. But here's the questions I have for you today. Number one, are you willing to embrace the faith that will lead you beyond your fears to faith in the power of the Holy Spirit? That's the question. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
And the reason why I want a response today is because we're going on a journey here that it's going to be difficult for some people. And if you haven't said yes, that's okay. Here's the next one for you. Are you willing to let go of the bad experiences you may have had in church and allow the Holy Spirit to have the right of way in your life?
Yes.
Now, if you want to have some bad experiences, stay in church. We know how to do it. We can mess you up. We can come up with crazy things. You know, I mean, I've seen all kinds of, I've seen people kill folks in church. You said, what? This is a true story. I'm going to tell you real quick. This fellow, he's calling, he had the pool of Bethesda one time. He says, oh, you step in this pool of Bethesda. It was a way to raise money. And he said, and this old man was probably about 80 years old or something like this. He says, run around the church. God's healed you this time. The man ran around the church and fell dead. Yes, he did. People do crazy things. But you know what? Jesus is still the same. He's able to do exceedingly above what you can think or imagine. Let's go to number three. Here's another one you may get to say yes to. You better hold on. Watch out. Do you know the baptism of the Holy Spirit will enable you to live a holy lifestyle without becoming religious? Whoa. That means you don't get special garments, special hats, sweatshirts, big crosses to wear, you know, bicycle chains around your neck. We're on a journey to Jesus today. Jesus is a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. It's a long portion of scripture, but I need to read this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is not to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. And if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Just go on to the next one. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you, and all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Wow. Folks, we're about to experience a manifestation of God that you say, well, as if it's never happened before. But I should say re-experience, because many of us have drifted away from what God has initially done. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus. And anyone who tries to make that anything different will find themselves in big trouble. I want you to put aside all the crazy things you've heard about people who are charismatic or charismaniac. And let's talk about what Jesus is going to do. The Holy Spirit is the power. Power is not a result of a movement, denomination, or a specific century in history. I don't want to take you back to the day of Pentecost. I want to move you forward into what God is doing right now. But we will recognize there was a time in history when it all began. Secondly, he has been active on the earth since the beginning of time, even in Genesis. I want to show you the Holy Spirit was around when the whole world was created. The Bible says, and he says, and let us make man. It takes more than one to be in us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were there in the very beginning. And so we've got to recognize this. And furthermore, notable leaders, pioneers in the faith, and forerunners have had dramatic experiences with the supernatural presence. Now, I'm going to name some things here that it's really important for you to lay a foundation. The evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is supernatural power that is expressed in ways that cannot be denied. And I'm going to list them for you. And I'm not apologizing for any of them. Number one, speaking in tongues. He said, why'd you pull that one out of the hat? Because that's the first thing that happened. He said, what? We'll get to the text in a couple of weeks. But God did something that man could not explain. And I believe other people have said it, but I'll say it again. One of the reasons why I believe that God used speaking in tongues is because your tongue is the one thing that gets you in the most trouble. If he can get a hold of your tongue and he can speak through it, you got something going on. Because your tongue, you said, oops, oh, my bad, nothing, honey. That came from your heart and from your mind. It didn't just kind of sneak up. It was in you and came out through your tongue. Your tongue expressed what was inside you. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit has the ability to interrupt all those other things and to transcend you to a place where you can be a blessing and not a curse. The Holy Spirit will take over that part of you as you yield to him, and you will all of a sudden find yourself in a place where you're glorifying and magnifying God, and things will change in your presence. Wow, you say, boy, I'd like to be able to say the right thing all the time. Allow the Holy Spirit to take control. Because some of y'all got a mouth problem. Yeah, Jesus. Let me move on. Second, miracles of healing. In this house, in this church, God has done it, but there's more that he desires to. Number three, prophetic words and utterances. That means that God has a supernatural ability to give prophetic words. Prophetic means a prophecy or to foretell things that are going to come in the future with accuracy. How about this? Number four, divine intervention. Ever been in a situation where you know it was nobody that God that got you out of that? Yeah. It had to have been the Holy Spirit that stopped that truck. I told you my experience with the MAX train, this right over here over near the Lloyd Center. I was on my way to the club. This is probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I had the green light. The train is supposed to stop, right? And the train's going down, so I'm just ready to go on this type of thing. And do you know, the Holy Spirit said, stop. I stopped, the MAX train went by on the red light, and if I had not stopped, I'd be dead. That was 3 weeks ago, right over here near Lloyd Center. Now, I know a lot of times people do crazy things with MAX trains, but I don't be playing with MAX trains. No sugar. No, me and MAX, we got a covenant going on. You do your thing, I'll do mine, I'll stay off your track, you stay off mine. Listen, it's all good. But there was a time when the Holy Spirit said, even though the sign says go, you stop. That's called divine intervention. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to have the right of way to your spirit to tell you, when you want to go, you better stop. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, shut up. Come on. He won't have time to say, please be quiet. Hold your lips. That's not necessary. He'll say, shut up. And you better shut up. He's trying to save your life. Somebody work with me today. Come on, say hallelujah. That's okay. How about this? Distribution of spiritual gifts. I'm so glad Sister Trish Jetter, she's going to be teaching us on spiritual gifts. But you know what? We're going beyond the teaching part. We're going to release some people in spiritual gifts through the eldership of this house where people will be able to use those gifts. It's not going to be about you. It's about what the Jesus wants to do in you to empower you for the body of Christ to be fulfilled. So we're going to be taught about those things. That's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And then one other thing, signs and wonders. I wonder why the Bible said there are going to be signs and wonders. Signs are pretty easy. You read a sign, it says go here. Wonders is you wonder what's going to happen. Because it goes beyond explanation. Do you know God is under no obligation to explain everything he does? Well, unless I can really get know what's going on, I don't think I can trust. You are not that important, okay? Just thought I'd tell you that. Let me tell you the next little part. The Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus to do a specific work in people. The most powerful work of the Holy Spirit, hear me, is conviction of sin. Notice I use the word conviction, not condemnation. You say, well, why do you always preach on sin and that type of thing? Because sin is directly contradictory to God. But I will preach on sin. But you know something? I can preach on sin all day long, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't bring conviction, it will do no good. I know you're talking about people who do those type of things, but you know what? I feel good about my sin. I feel good about, you know, doing all these other type of things. You can't make me feel guilty. You're right. I can't. But the Holy Spirit can. My job is just to do what he says to do. What about this? The Holy Spirit will show us Jesus and how we need to repent in order to have his presence abiding in us. The whole goal of the Holy Spirit is for it to abide in us with peace and with power and with anointing. How about this? The Holy Spirit will never condemn us, but rather expose the lies of the enemy that will keep us from being all that God intended for us to be. You know something? There's probably nothing worse than being lied to. Someone tells you, you know, and they just tell you this whole story, and then you find out it's not true. Do you have confidence in that person? I don't think so. Matter of fact, if you're smart, you'll stay clear of them. But the Holy Spirit will tell you these things, but he never condemns you or exposes you to things of the enemy, which are lies. Here's something I want to just spend a moment or two on. When we truly encounter the Holy Spirit, we will desire righteousness and everything that is pleasing to God. Now, here's what some of you interpret that to say. When you have the Holy Spirit, you will only play Hillsong. You know, you'll never, ever play any jazz music on your, you know, on your radio or whatever, your iPod. God bless you with your religion. Because sometimes we try to prescribe certain things to the Holy Spirit that he never prescribed. But note what I'm saying here. This is so important. We will desire righteousness and everything that's pleasing to the Lord. Wow. We will seek out the presence of God. And we will desire to worship and praise him. And his worship and praise we have of God will not be confound to from 10 till about 11:30, 11:45 Sunday morning, and you never worship God in any other place in this house. You know what? When the Holy Spirit has control of your life as he should, as we yield to him, you'll feel as comfortable worshiping in here as you would be down in Pioneer Square with some of your friends. It's, I don't know, call it old age, call it whatever you want to, But I remember, it was just the other day, I was with a friend, and we were in the restaurant, we were just talking about Jesus and this type of thing. And I noticed he was getting kind of uncomfortable, because I guess I was getting a little loud. Because, you know, I wasn't whispering, Jesus. I was saying, well, you know, Jesus did this such and such a thing, and I'm so glad the Lord, and I'm just getting all loud and carrying on. And he's looking like, dude, you know, kind of bring it down. You know, cool it, you know. You know, the people in the restaurant, you know, they won't hear about this. And I wasn't doing it, but when you talk about somebody you love, you don't get quiet. Or you're not worried about what other people say. I wasn't trying to be obnoxious or anything of this nature, but it's above the tone. And then people start, you know, kind of focusing on this. But also I was talking about what Jesus had done. And you could feel the hunger in other people saying, you know, you're talking about, can Jesus really do that? I want to tell you some things that will happen. We will delight in the Word of God, and we will know the difference between the truth of God and the judgment of the world. Which leads me to this particular place. The Spirit of truth is absolute wisdom and power of God to do what is right. Ever been confused about what the right thing to do is? You see, you don't, I'll vote for you. Well, I could do this, or I could do that. With the Holy Spirit, when we're submitted to Him, He'll say, this is the way, walk in. Well, that doesn't seem logical to me. Do you know the Holy Spirit defies logic? Because at the advent of the Holy Spirit, tipping my hand a little bit, He found with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He did some things that made some people say, well, how does that work? Aren't all these Galileans, and they're speaking in our own language? That's not supposed to be. Well, let's look at this. He'll speak God to do what is right. Truth is freedom to be who God has designed us to be. Without a show of hands, no one needs to vote on this. The question would be, are you living out your life to be all that God has designed you to be? Don't raise your hand. Because that's not a condemning statement. But what my goal is, and the Holy Spirit's goal, is to release you from this captive bondage of living somebody else's life profile and not living the life that God has intended for you to be. Free to be who God has designed you to be. That's pretty amazing, I think. Truth is what will bring peace and harmony in the worst situation. And truth is a person of Jesus that brings the Spirit of righteousness without condemnation and fear of being exposed. That's a pretty heavy statement. Well, the Holy Spirit will show us Jesus and all who belong to Him. Ever tried to be Secret Service for Jesus? You say, oh, I would never do that. Oh, yes, you do. No, I know, she ain't got it. No, he doesn't. No, she don't got it. You think you got spiritual radar? I don't think so. And our flesh really wants to, we have a tendency, even in the body of Christ, to pick people we like. Now, it's going to get, so get ready, because I'm going to show you a few things in a moment. But we have our own criterion of what we believe a Christian looks like and the profile that will fit into our paradigm of experience of people that we should hang out with. I said, what? Hang with me for a moment. He brings harmony and unity in the body of Christ, which means He'll remove doubt and confusion, but further than that, He's going to do something else. He will deliver us from our biases and prejudices of what we believe a Spirit-filled believer looks like. Now, I'm going to take you to my experience. This is back in the 60s. Anybody remember the 60s? Some of you were barely born then, bless your hearts. A bunch of young people don't even know nothing. It'll take you back to where life really started. It was Father Dennis Bennett who was up in Seattle. Do anybody remember, what was the name of that church up there? St. Luke's? Was it St. Luke's up in Seattle? Dennis Bennett, was that St. Luke's? Yeah. Now, I'm going to show you my experience. I was holiness background and holiness background or Pentecostal background, whatever. You don't run around with people who drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those who do. You don't wear lipstick, you don't wear pants, open-toed shoes. Women don't wear jewelry. And if you put, absolutely put lipstick on your lips, you are on your way to hell because you're a child of Jezebel. That was our code of ethics. So half of you in here are on your way to hell on a roller coaster. Open-toed shoes were the worst. So anyway, now you're feeling all condemned. But the Holy Spirit has the ability to cross over denominational lines. And that was a big jump for me. Now I'm going to read a couple of things to you, that, and I hope you get real mad and write me letters. It'll be fine. It's good. When the Holy Spirit comes upon folks, he will fill wine-drinking Catholics. You say, what? I got the wine thing. Okay. But Catholics? Don't they pray to Mary? He said, mm-hmm. And God's going to fill them with the Holy Spirit? Whoa. Back up the bus. Hold on, there's more. The Holy Spirit will fill beer-drinking Lutherans. Oh, yes, he will. He said, what? Budweiser buddies? Lowenbrow? He said, how do you know all these? Somebody told me. But I got one more for you. The Holy Spirit will fill scotch-drinking Presbyterians. Oh, and somebody said, thank you, Jesus, thank you. You say, what do you mean? You just freed everybody up to do whatever they want. No, I didn't. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not afraid of anything that's going on in your life. If you're going to exalt Jesus, he'll work out all the rest of the details. Come on. But we want to sort it out for him. No. She got an issue over here, Lord. She got a bad temper. Don't be doing that with her. She needs to work it out. You know. I'm going to bring this back to a place where you're going to see some things that Jesus wants to do. He's working to unite the body of Christ around what is important. You say, well, isn't it important not to do certain things? You will spend your whole life on all the things you're not supposed to do and never get to the things you're supposed to. Get out your list. Don't go here, don't go there, don't go do this. Don't you know the Holy Spirit is bigger than your list? And he'll stop you dead in your tracks when you're ready to do this. And say, you ain't going there, don't even try it. And if you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, you'll have righteousness, peace, and joy. See, we haven't listened to the umpire of our spirit, and he's the one, he knows how to call the shots. When he's in control, only righteousness will come forth from your life. Because I've tried to heal some of you folks. You said, I would never, never, never drink alcohol. Then get rid of your NyQuil. Get rid of your NyQuil. Your NyQuil is 6% alcohol. That's more than beer got in it. He said, oh, it helps me relax. No, you are drunk, honey. Sugar baby, you are loaded. You having a high. The only difference between yours, one says, you know, Seagram's on, the other one says Vicks. Somebody gonna get free today. Hallelujah. We have all been appointed to accomplish the Great Commission. The Holy Spirit will promote the mandate of evangelism and make disciples of all nations. You know, it's so easy. We can pick all the things we don't do and we won't do what we're supposed to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and teach them to observe all things. Make disciples of folks. And you're so busy trying to figure out what to drink and what not to drink, you haven't talked to nobody. Oh, Lord Jesus. Help us right up in through here. He will do this with signs that will follow those who truly believe. I say, now why did you say all this stuff? Because you know, some people have issues with all kinds of things. You know, the Holy Spirit is smarter than you and me. Because here's how it works. When you insist on holding on to your Seagram's V07, instead of the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, that's not a part of your life, let it go. I say, oh, no, that helps me. That helps me calm my nerves so I can hear better. Well, doesn't work. Let me get on to the next little phase and we'll work this out. The wait for the Holy Spirit is over. Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. We just read that. I'm a reader from, right, I've got it right here in front of me. But he says this, and this is kind of the advent of preparing for what happened on the day of Pentecost, is that when they were all entered into one room, where they were staying. And then verse 14 says, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and with Mary. Any of you ever been to a tarrying service? Is that some word you don't know anything about? Put your hands up high. I want to find out the people, you know, because some people, this is a new word for some people, tarrying. What do you mean tarrying? That means you're there for a while. You're there longer than you thought you would be there. You're waiting for somebody to say amen and they never do. Asatarian service. That's when you get tired, and by the time you're done, you're a little bit evil because you're kind of mean. But Jesus says, and he says, go to Jerusalem and wait until the Spirit of God comes upon you. I want to let you know, from the time that Jesus left in this part of Acts to the time of the advent of the Holy Spirit, it was 10 days. You say, well, that's kind of in alignment with what we're going to be doing. No, this is not an endurance contest. But I want to tell you and show you in practical ways, there's nothing wrong with tarrying, but it's not the fact that we're not waiting for him. He's already here. But sometimes it takes that long for us to get ourselves ready. Because we got so much junk. Come on, work with me. Stuff in the way that needs to be consecrated and purged out of our life. You know, consecration is one of those type of things where if we try to figure it out, it's not the point of an endurance contest to say, well, I'm better than everybody else. No, it means to purposefully eliminate those things that have been a hindrance in your life from hearing Jesus and doing what he says. I say, will it take 10 days? Maybe not. Maybe it'll take you 10 minutes. But in that period of time, I'll show you what I mean in just a little bit. Well, there are times when it is necessary for us to focus on the things of the kingdom that really matter. Secondly, there are times when we must clear everything else out of the way in order to hear from the Lord. That's what that's all about. And in many cases, it'll take us that long to get all the clutter out of the way so we can hear God. How many of you here have smartphones? How many of you have smartphones smarter than you? You know what I'm talking about here. And once you program that fella, it will do exactly what you've told it to do until you unprogram it. Is that not true? So what's this thing going off for? Because you told it to. It's not smart. You're using it to get you to a certain place you feel that's really necessary. But I think because of all the technology that we have got ourselves so programmed in such a regimen that we don't have room for Jesus. And that's what this whole time of consecration is all about. There are times of consecration that we must get alone with Jesus and hear from the Holy Spirit. I said, well, I don't have time. Look at my schedule here. I got something for you. Lose your phone. Go ahead, lose it. And it's like you're going to have a heart attack. Oh, I lost my phone. Oh my gosh, I lost my phone. Everything I have's in my phone. All my contacts are in my phone. My schedule's in my phone. My life is over because it's in my phone. I got a question for you. Where is Jesus in all of this? I thought he was your everything. Well, he is, but my phone. I need my phone. Jesus, you need Jesus. God speaks prophetically to people today. And prophecy is a word that is often misunderstood when a person hears from God. Some people think, you know, all of a sudden they're a prophet. Not necessarily. In the same way the Holy Spirit can capture our tongue to speak in heavenly languages, he can also capture our mind to impose his thoughts and direct us in a whole different direction. I want to tell you that when you're listening to God, he can put prophetic words in your mind that will set the course of a whole new direction. Now hear me on this. We can supernaturally experience knowledge that we have not learned by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring direction and correction to our life or the life of someone else. When we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, he can redirect us in ways that we thought were absolutely impossible. That's what we're doing. That's what the Holy Spirit baptism is all about. The divine motive of the Holy Spirit is to always bring the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit into our lives in very practical ways. Love and joy and peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. That's what he wants to do. Well, Jesus' original commandment to wait was designed for his disciples to come to a place of unity, focus, and vision. That means simply, number one, unity does not mean uniformity. We all become, and now I am a prophet of Jesus, and this is the way I speak. The Holy Spirit is going to use me to touch you and you and all of you today. Hallelujah. Get back in your box. Someone find the off switch, okay? We must be willing to abandon the things and the ways we like in order for the Holy Spirit to work in our midst. Now, I had a friend of mine who's coming into this experience in a rather large church here in town. They're just kind of coming to the advent of the Holy Spirit. And he used a word, and I don't really like it, but it's true. But many times when the Holy Spirit will show up, things will get just a little bit different. Now, that's the reason why you have order in the house. You have elders and leaders in the house that can get things into order. But because we're human beings, don't expect everything that we do to be perfect. But do expect us to be perfectly submitted to Jesus. That's a real important thing to say. Because we must surrender our ideas of what amount of time is necessary in order for the move of the Spirit to take place. And some of us, you know, we guys say, well, God, according to my watch, you've got about 15 minutes. And I'm hoping that manifestation shows up because I've got plans. You know, my reservations are at 12:15. And it takes about 20 minutes to get there about this time of day, so let's have at it. Really? Okay. Our concept of waiting on God needs to be brought under submission to the things that the Spirit desires to accomplish in and through us. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 31. Let me stop here. We'll see. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had a charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. I'm going to stop right there. I want you to get yourself ready for Holy Spirit divine interruptions that your plans will have to change in an instant. And so with this guy, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Do you know, in the weeks to come, and I'm going to say this prophetically, and I believe it's going to become absolutely true, many of you are going to find yourself in positions where you, for the very first time, will have an opportunity to lead someone to Jesus if you will stop and listen to the Holy Spirit, and He'll direct you how to do it. You're thinking, oh, I've never done that before. And what's your point? The Holy Spirit, when you yield to Him and you, He can do the work. You have to furnish Him the voice to use to bring freedom to other folks. And one thing, I ask you one question. Are you willing? That's all that's necessary. Well, I want to get to this last little piece here. I'm going to skip down to, actually, the idea of what it says, waiting on the Spirit requires us taking time to remove ourselves from the busyness of life and listen to what God is saying. Now, the fullness of the Spirit is best demonstrated in our lives when we refuse to let things of this life displace our time with Him. Now, don't vote on this one because I don't want everybody to know how unspiritual you are. Because some people haven't got this particular place, and I'm not here to condemn anybody. But if there's not a regular time that you set aside that's not, you know, designated for God, you run the risk of having, shall I say, a weaker relationship with God than you could possibly have. That's a nice way of putting it. I'm not going to call you unsaved or uncommitted to God. But I believe that what my desire is to inspire you to have a designated time for God that nobody can take from you. That's the goal. Our priority to wait on God should not be sacrificed for things that could be done at a later time if we learn how to be patient. Or knowing that God loves us and wants the best for us of all the time, at all time, should move us into a deeper relationship with Him. Well, here's the deal. Let's skip down to part G and says this. A refilling of the Holy Spirit, for some, is essential in order for us to speak out boldly in the name of the Lord. Now, I have all this highlighted. Manifestation of the Spirit may vary in different situations. Do not put God in a box of what you believe He ought to do or say at any given time. And I appreciate, you know, various tools. There's four spiritual laws. There's various other things we can use to witness to people. And those are great things. But I want you to come out of that particular box and trust the Holy Spirit may use that or He may use something totally different. Do not get locked into a routine or regiment believing that's the only way God's going to do it. What does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit wants to use you totally, every aspect of your being. The second thing I had him write down is, our goal and purpose is for the Holy Spirit to do His work in whatever way He chooses. Third thing is, the filling of the Holy Spirit is the key to power and victory to accomplish the will of God. And the fourth thing is, we must learn to push. What push means? Pray until something happens. Worship team, you can come back. I'm going to finish this down here. What do you mean by push? Well, pray until something happens. Does that mean to just kind of just get there and just kind of just look pitiful and wallow in God's presence? No. But it means that in the same way that Jacob wrestled with the angel, he said this, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Well, you don't have to wrestle with God. You know what you get to do? Yield to God. That what you might denote as being wrestling is really the fact of your flesh coming to alignment to the Spirit of saying that all those other things that you have deemed to be so important and so crucial really aren't that important at all. Now, before we pray this morning, I want to do something that we don't do very often in this house. And so as soon as people are stopped through or not moving around, for a whole minute, I don't want anyone to say or do or any music or anything. For a whole minute, I want us just to wait and listen to the Lord. Now, let me set you up for this. Because I believe if you stop and listen to God, God is going to say something to you that he's been wanting to say for a long time. And let me give you some of the things that he may say. It's time for you to stop doing. It's time for you to start doing. Today is the day that I want you to. I want you to speak with such and such, and the Lord is going to be very specific to you. So for 60 seconds, I don't want anyone to say, do anything, but I want you just to do this one thing. Listen to the Holy Spirit. On your mark, get set, go. 1 minute. I have one question for you. Are you willing to do what he told you to do? Bow your heads with me, everybody. Lord, in this morning, in this room, Lord God, you said some pretty specific things to us. Lord, some of them centered around repentance, some of them centered around the fact of being bold and just really stepping out to do things that we probably have shelved, if we've not responded to you. It's because of fear. In the name of Jesus, I cast out all fear. I cast out the work of the enemy. I cast out everything that will keep people from being completely sold out to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want everybody to stand on their feet now. We're just going to sing a closing song, but this is how we're going to end the service today. One of the ways that you're going to solidify what God told you, oftentimes God wants action on your part. I will ask you to leave the seat where you are and you come down here. There'll be people to pray with you, or if you don't want anyone to pray with you, that's fine. You can wave us off. But you need to come to Jesus today and to respond to saying, Lord, I heard you and I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter what my friends think. Doesn't matter, really. And I don't say this disrespectfully, but my wife or husband, Lord, this was between me.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.